Is Chazor Zeichen Neshes Baruch Ches Rishag Rabbi Yehuda Maseches Bava Mitzvah Daf Lamed Hey. Fidek Mar Yehuda had said that before a shomer or lender is willing to pay for the deposit or collateral that he no longer has, he has to swear that it's no longer in his possession. Rav Huna Bar Tachlif and the name of Rava said the third case in the Mishnah just quoted refutes Rav Huna. That case of the Mishnah was where a lender lost the collateral for a loan of a sella, and the borrower says the collateral is worth two sella, and the lender said it was only worth one sella. The Mishnah said that the lender is potter from having to swear regarding the value of the collateral because there was no partial admission. Now, according to Rav Huna, since he'll have to swear that he no longer has it in his possession, so with Gilgal Shua, you should also make him swear as to how much the collateral is worth. And for tomorrow, Rashi said, if Kahana told him, the case of the Mishnah is where the borrower trusts the lender that he no longer has it. And that's why there's no swearing. He's not going to swear about that. If so, he should also trust him regarding the value of the collateral, and the lender should not have to swear in the fourth case either. And for tomorrow, the borrower feels that the lender is not familiar enough with the collateral to give a true estimate of value. For tomorrow, why doesn't the lender trust the borrower to give the value since he's more familiar with the collateral? And for tomorrow, the case is that the lender does not trust the borrower. For tomorrow, why does the Mishnah give a case where the borrower trusts the lender, but the lender doesn't trust the borrower? And for tomorrow, the borrower says, based on the pasuk, that since the lender is financially successful, it must be that he's an honest person. The lender says, also based on a pasuk, since the borrower is not financially successful, it must be that he's not an honest person. Zok de Gemara, a person once gave earrings to a shomer to watch for him. When the owner asked for them back, the shomer said, I don't remember where I put them. Rav Nachman said, that's called negligence. The shomer has to pay. The shomer refused to pay, and so Rav Nachman took the shomer's mansion as payment. Later on, the earrings were found at a time when the earrings were greater in value than the amount that was taken in payment by Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, the mansion should be given back to the shomer, and the earrings should be given back to the owner. Rava said, I was there when the stock was given, and we were in the middle of learning Perek HaMafkid. I asked Rav Nachman, the Mishnah says that if the shomer pays instead of swearing, he gets the penalty payment, which would mean that he gets all future appreciation, including the appreciation of the earrings in this case. Rav Nachman did not answer me, but it's for good reason he didn't answer me, because in our Mishnah, the shomer did not require the owner to go to Bezin to collect the money, and that's why he gives him the future appreciation. In this case, he made him go to collect from Bezin, and therefore, he does not get the future appreciation. Fidek Tamar, are we to say that Rav Nachman holds that even after something was taken by Bezin for payment, it may be taken back if another form of payment was later given? Mar says this case is different, because the taking was done mistakenly. It was thought that the earrings were forever gone when in fact they were there all along. In Adoy, he said property taken as payment must be returned if money is offered in its place within 12 months. Amemar said the property must always be returned if money is offered in its place. The Gemara passes like Amemar based on the pasuk of Sisa Yoshvatov. Zuckerman, clearly, if property is taken as payment from a debtor and the creditor then gives that property to his own creditor, we would take it back from the second creditor because we tell him that he's not in a stronger position than the one who gave it to him. If the first creditor sold the property, gifted it, or left it as an inheritance, since these people entered into land with intent to keep it, never wanting money in its place, they would be allowed to keep the land and would not have to return it. The Mark continues, if property was taken as payment for a creditor who was a woman or from a debtor who was a woman, and she then got married and died, the husband is considered to be a purchaser of her properties and he therefore need not return the property in the first case and does not get the property returned to him in the second case, even if he offers money for it. The Gemara continues, if the debtor himself gave property as payment and then wants to give money and take back the property, Rav Acha and Rav Inna argue, one says it must be returned to him because he holds it's not considered to be a sale and the reason he gave it is because he's embarrassed to go to Bezin, and the other says it does not have to be returned. He holds that it's considered to be like a sale since it was given willingly. Fidek Gemara, at what point may the creditor begin eating from the produce of a field that was given to him as payment by Bezin? Rabba said, at the time that the document of collection reaches his hand. Abaya said, the signature of the witnesses of the document are koinet for him. Rava said, at the time that the announcements for the sale of the property are over. Zuck, the next mission of a person rented a cow and then lent it to someone else and the cow then died on its own. The renter should swear to the owner that it died on its own, and the borrower must pay the value of the cow to the renter. Rabbi Yossi says, how can this be that someone can do business with someone else's cow? Rather, the value of the cow must be returned to the owner. Fidek the Gemara, either Rav said to Abaya, the renter is claiming the cow with the oath that he makes. Why can't the owner tell the renter, remove yourself and your oath, and I will litigate directly with the borrower? Abaya said, the renter is not claiming the animal with the oath. He's claiming the animal at the time that it dies. The oath is only made so that the owner can't claim the death was due to negligence. Zok the Gemara, Rav Zera said, there are times when the owner will have to pay a number of cows to the renter. The case will be where a person rented a cow for 100 days. And the owner then borrowed it from the renter for the first 90 days, and the renter then rented it again for the first 80 of those 90 days, and the owner borrowed it for the first 70 of those days, and the cow then died on its own in those 70 days. For each borrowing of the cow, the owner has to pay the renter one cow. Rav Achmed Difti asked Rav Inna, it's one cow that has gone through multiple statuses as rented and borrowed, so it can't be that a separate cow would have to be paid for each act of borrowing. And for the Gemara, Rav Inna said, still, since the cow is no longer here, there are two separate claims of payment for the cow, and therefore two separate payments must be made. Mabra Ravashi said, the owner would have to give the renter two cows, one as payment for the borrowed cows, and one for him to use for the remaining days of his rental period. Zakhmar Ravati, Rav Yemi said, there are times when the renter and the borrower would both have to bring a chatas for swearing falsely. There are times when they would both have to bring an osham. There are times when the renter would bring a chatas and the borrower would bring an osham, and there are times when the renter would bring an osham and the borrower would bring a chatas. Mara says, this is all based on the rule that a false oath taken to deny a monetary claim requires that an osham kosher be brought, and a false oath taken for any other reason requires that a chatas be brought. So based on this, if the animal died on its own and they both swear that it happened with an oinus, then the renter who would be potter with either claim brings a chatas for this false oath, and the borrower who would be chayev for either claim also brings a chatas for this false oath. If the cow was stolen and they both swear that it died while doing work that it was supposed to be doing anyway, then they both swore falsely in a way to try and make themselves potter, and they would therefore both be chayev to bring an oshim. If the animal died on its own and they both swore that it died while doing the work it was supposed to do, then the renter who would have been potter with either claim must bring a chatas, and the borrower who tried to make himself potter with his oath has to bring an oshim. If the animal was stolen and they both swore that it had died on its own, and the renter who tried to make himself potter with this oath would be chayiv to bring an oshim. The borrower who would be chayiv for either claim must bring a chatas. The chiddush of Yirmiyah is to exclude the sheet of Ravami, who says that a person does not bring a chatas for a false oath when the oath was imposed on him by Bezin.